Welcome, everyone, to Business Growth on Purpose. My name is Jose Palomino. I'm CEO of Value Prop Interactive, and it is my great pleasure every week to be interviewing experts from around the world, owners of other B2B businesses, and sometimes just sharing some of my personal insights from decades of helping businesses grow on purpose. Thanks for joining us and enjoy the episode. Hi, everyone. This is Jose Palomino with another episode of Business Growth on Purpose. And today's guest is Bruce Lito. And this is a special episode for me and a special moment. I met Bruce years ago when I was teaching a class at Villanova University on entrepreneurial marketing. It was for their MBA program. And Bruce was a stellar student in my class. At the time, though, he was working in a corporate job. He was doing well. But he had a burning desire to do something else, to do something entrepreneurial, which is why he took the class. So we've built a really sweet relationship over the last several years. And it's been my great pleasure to see him build a practice of impact and importance for a specific target market. And we'll get into that when we do the interview and you'll learn about it. But I just have been very excited to see his progress, how he's built his business, and the specific value he brings, especially to owners of B2B businesses. So listen closely as Bruce joins us right now. Welcome, Bruce Lito, to Business Growth on Purpose.
Thanks for having me, Jose.
Hey, Bruce, I know you, but maybe some of our audience doesn't yet. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and who you do it for?
Sure. I was an MBA student, one of Jose's at the Villanova Business School, and was encouraged to start my own business, Dynamic Wave Consulting, which is web design, marketing consulting. And with Jose's help, now featured on Yahoo Finance as a top five nationwide digital marketing agency. We help trade businesses like HVAC, hardscaping, legal, finance, and medical businesses grow their revenue and Google presence, as well as designing award-winning websites.
Wow. Well, that's a lot. And Bruce, as you did mention, I did meet you teaching a class on entrepreneurial marketing at Villanova. Both of us went there. And it was exciting seeing your energy to transition from like corporate type responsibilities to saying, I want to try to start my own thing. And you had a real zeal for that. So just before we get into some of the technical things, I think that might be very interesting to our audience. Just if you could just reflect briefly on, what was the switch for you saying, I'm going to give up my W-2 job and I'm going to throw my hat in the ring as an entrepreneur. What was the thing that turned the light on for you there?
Just really wanting to help people and knowing that I could, and taking the zeal that I had in sales and relationship management and helping them just really win for their own businesses and competitive drive. I'm playing sports my whole life. The pandemic turned out to be a perfect storm, and that folks who had a lifestyle business wanted to get online, and folks that were online with their business wanted to then rank higher. So I think that was the catalyst behind a lot of this.
Wow. So that was, and it's an interesting time to start a business, right? So I've observed you, just alongside you, seeing some of the things you've done. But one of the things that I think you did that's particularly interesting is you started focusing on giving your clients certain results, especially in the area of Google Maps. And I know a lot of people listening to this podcast now, maybe running a business and so on, they've been told by their consultants, you got to do something on Google Maps, but then maybe not quite sure why it matters, or why it matters as much as it does. So could you just maybe hit on some of the thoughts as to why, what business should care about it and why should they care about it?
Sure. I think that, first to know, 75 to 80% of any business's leads are going to come directly from Google Maps. So that's important, specifically in those nearby, near me searches. If you're looking for, a sushi restaurant near me, you're looking for, in my case was when I had a neck injury, chiropractor near me, and I looked at the Google reviews, and, that decided who I went to and helped, heal up the process 100%. And I attribute a lot of that to the Google reviews of the chiropractor I went to. Same with an electrician. You know, we had some lights flickering. We had one guy came out, couldn't fix it, then looked at the Google reviews of another competing company at almost 400 five-star reviews, and guy was able to fix it. So I think that the recognition, especially in today's day and age, digitally, the validation of your peers and social proof makes a big difference, as well as the visibility you can get from being high on Google Maps.
But you know, I hear some owners tell me, well, look, the reality is we get our business through word of mouth. It's our reputation in the community or whatever. And especially I'm thinking of people like, you know, financial services, insurance brokers, lawyers, and so on. Is Google Maps, does that mean any, does that mean as much to them as, you know, I could see pest control near me, but am I really looking for attorney near me or insurance broker near me?
I think Google Maps is in many ways similar to a website, in that it's a nice digital business card for your business. Of course, it's not necessarily the end all be all, and each business has a different pipeline for driving the sales engine, so to speak. But I think in every case, it can be invaluable, especially based on the latest algorithms of how people are going to find you. I mean, who doesn't want, you know, new leads? Well, would 10 new leads convert one to two of them each month due to your bottom line revenue? And that's what I think optimizing your Google business profile and Google Maps can really make a difference, as it has for our clients.
Well, now I've been in, I've often worked with people who are more national in presence, right? They have a national service, they're a manufacturer or whatever, or you provide an industrial service that's available and they literally fly around to do this. What part of search, the near me part, the maps, whatever, might still be relevant to a company that aspires to reach a much broader than local audience?
I think the well, you as I always tell my clients, you kind of want to start local, then expand. You can, you know, location specific hidden landing pages, and when you're start, Google's going to recognize the qualitative traffic and search presence to your site, right? So if you're getting great leads, local leads, then your search can then expand regionally and then nationally. It's not so much volume based on the latest algorithm; it's the person specific content relevant and quality of the visitors on your site. So you want to start with getting qualified leads through the site, and perhaps it does start local and then expand regionally and henceforth nationally. So in every case, the qualification level of who is coming to your site makes a huge difference on how you rank, if that makes sense.
Okay, well, I'm just curious. Like, so your business, for example, you could serve any, you know, you designing web presences and so on. You could serve anybody anywhere in the world, literally. Has Google search and ranking helped your business?
Yeah, I think because we also get our, you know, we're certified Wix experts and partners, and we get those leads from anywhere, really. It could be Canada, the US, overseas. And they're looking, you know, they're looking at our marketplace profile, but they are also then going to look at our Google profile to see, you know, what's the variance between the two. Do the reviews and the prices that corroborate and complement each other? So I think Google's like your always a good second line of defense if needed, because I would imagine that one might raise eyebrows on a reputable business that isn't on Google Business, especially nowadays.
You mean just not being there could be an actual drag on your business versus being there being an accelerator. Like just the absence of it could also be a negative.
Correct. I think it's a lost opportunity cost if you aren't optimizing your site and optimizing your presence on search consoles, namely of Google, Yahoo, and Bing, specifically the first one.
So, you know, this raises this question though, Bruce, because I hear this a lot from owners as well, is like I have spent so much money on SEO type things
Right.
over the last 10, 15, fill in the blanks since the beginning of the internet, right? It doesn't matter. And they often feel about it like the way owners used to feel about yellow page ads. Like, I can't tell you that it's actually productive for me, but I know that I'm afraid to pull my ad because it'll take forever to get that same placement, whatever my business is, right? So, you know, does this What do you tell to that owner who's like just exhausted from having invested in this and not seen a return? Does that mean their business can't work in that, or maybe it wasn't done right?
I think if it is a location-based business and does have a clear business model, as we oftentimes talk about, especially in its owner's mind, then one thing I always question if it was done properly. I mean, you know, is the person who was setting up the Google ads just setting it, forgetting, or are they monitoring on tuning ongoing basis, adding negative keywords, tuning for ROI, adding location exclusions, adding ad schedules? I mean, all sorts of things we can do to the ads to really drive down your cost per conversion, cost per click, and increase its efficiency. But I also then tell, to your first point, the owner, that just having Google Ads running on Google Maps is going to also organically help increase your Google Maps rank. Because obviously Google wants to reward businesses that do business with them. And even if you don't feel like you're getting a direct ROI, there's an indirect benefit in helping your business rank higher on Google Maps just by having the ads running themselves. And they don't have to be spending hundreds of thousands of dollars each month. A small, you know, reasonable budget can help you complement your organic SEO strategy.
So so let's talk about that a little bit, right? And I know these are some of the services you can provide as well, but generally, as you look out at the industry, is there a threshold below which keep your money? You're not going to move the dial, right? It's like,
right,
you're trying to sear a steak and you barely have a flint, you know, you're doing it with a match on the, you know, it's not going to sear. You might as well save the match, right? So is there kind of a practical guideline that you say, listen, you have to look at roughly this depth of investment over this period of time to move the needle at all in this competitive world we're in online, or do something else, because that will just be a waste of money?
I mean, I think it's a generic answer, but it really does depend on the industry in many ways. Especially if it's just somebody who's starting out, they have a major, let's say, e-commerce business. They haven't tested the demand or need for the product. They don't have much social proof. You're looking, you might want to do a brute force marketing campaign. We're talking, you know, tens of thousands of dollars each month on Google Ads. But the reputable business, or the local, let's say, hypothetically speaking, electrician, HVAC, your financial consultant, their clients, let's say, mostly in person, they already have some good Google reviews. You want to take a look, what are your competitors spending? I think, you know, a couple $100, maybe $1,000 to start each month. We always recommend the starting point, $10 to $15 per campaign a day to start. But I think, you know, $750 to $1,000 each month might be a nice starting point. And then we'd like to ramp it up on their monthly spend to Google. But it really depends on how, I think, established the business is, where their market base is, and where they are in their growth cycle, to answer that question respectively for each business owner.
But Bruce, you wouldn't just spend $1,000 for one 30-day cycle and then draw a conclusion from that.
No, I'd want to assess the industry. I want to take a look at their, and that's why we don't just say, yes, we're going to set your Google Ads up. We usually set them up concurrently with landing pages, on-page SEO, press releases, a redesigned website, you know, new H1, new meta descriptions, Google business optimization before we make a recommendation on what we want to do with the Google Ads and how much you want to spend. And you know, especially if you're in one of those really competitive markets, like let's say personal injury law, so to speak, you have to see what your competitors are spending each month before just shooting in the breeze and starting to advertise. I mean, there is a whole analytical process that we undertake, which I think has helped us make our clients, you know, eight figures in revenue from our marketing campaigns.
Right. So I guess I'm just taking it from like the person who's saying, most owners, you know, are reading enough. They're in business groups. They're going to chamber meetings or trade show meetings. So they're not ignorant. They understand that they have to spend money to make money,
right,
but they're never quite sure where to start. It sounds like you're saying at the low end, simple of your early days, you probably should be looking at at least $1,000 a month. And it sounds like for all the analysis, probably like a 6 month run to draw a conclusion.
Yeah, we do the our setup campaigns. I mean, the setup is just the setup of the ads. We really start to draw data after the second month, so that's why we recommend 3, 6, and 12 month intervals and at PPC tuning campaigns to see, and this goes back to your previous point of when ads were set up for some clients say, oh, well, they didn't work. What types of ads? Were they just broad match keywords that, hypothetically speaking, if you're a hardscaping company and someone, you don't want someone that is looking for Home Depot, a resource, hypothetically speaking, to have your business pop up and then you're wasting away broad match money. So we want to get really specific. We want to tune out keywords that are driving your cost per click and cost per conversion too high. We want to get rid of keywords that aren't relevant at all. We want to get rid of locations, perhaps, let's say, overseas that are looking at the ads to decrease the qualification level of leads. We want to tune for ROI and tune for conversion. And that happens over the course of a couple months, as you've mentioned.
Right. So, all right. So let's take that local business. Let's say a hypothetical, a law firm, right? A medium-sized law firm. I don't know, 10, five attorneys, whatever, and so on. And so now they've been doing something. If they've existed for a couple of years, they have a web presence and so on. They have something. So when they look at you or they're talking to you, that means they're not happy with something. Or else why are they talking to you?
Correct.
If they're like totally happy about
The
it.
sales in this industry are incoming rather than outgoing.
Okay, so when you look at their assets, their whole digital, let's call it their digital footprint, right? What are you looking to see where that tells you it's like a flag that says, this could be improved. We could probably do something for these folks. What are some of the tells that tell you that it's a good thing they called you?
Right. I mean, I think first thing I'm looking at this site to see is it responsive across devices. Does it have a brand identity? Is the font consistent? Is it clean? Does it have a wow factor? Does the site, is it optimized for user interaction, user engagement? How does it look on different devices? And then, I usually do go over to the Google profiles. Do they have reviews? If they're reputable, they should have the reviews to back up what they are offering. Where are they ranking in nearby searches? Where are their competitors ranking? Also, if you type in their name, does a competitor's ad pop up? That's
Oh,
called
wow.
competitor targeting. And we do like to do that for some of our businesses, but in those really competitive, high impact spaces, we do want to take a look, and that has transpired for some of our clients before.
Wow. So that sounds like that's a pretty comprehensive list of things you're looking for, looking to
Right.
see where you have opportunity there. So again, as an owner looking at this, do you think it's fair for an owner to say, I should be getting a multiple ROI on my digital marketing investment year over year? I don't mean for every single dollar spent today, I get $2 tomorrow,
Right.
but should they, is it just defensive? Like, well, I got to do something, so I have to have a presence, so I'll spend money. Or should they actually see a positive return in your mind?
I mean, I think it depends on the goals. I mean, there is push marketing, there's pull marketing. Push is getting your brand in front of the right prospect directly at the point of sale, like display ads, and pull marketing can be as effective as well. Press releases, backlink. We get our clients in Fox Local, USA Today, Visa Today, Delco, Monco Today, et cetera. And that's a form of pull marketing. Are you going to get direct sales from pull marketing? Who knows? But it's going to build clout to your brand. So I think depending on your goals, that there doesn't necessarily need to be a multiple or dollar in cents. But if you have a PPC campaign that was set up and you have been advertising on Google and it has been relatively effective, we can certainly help and make it more effective and more successful in bringing the cost per click down, bringing the cost per conversion down, and narrowing in on the leads that are coming in through the landing pages to your site to ultimately help your bottom line revenue.
So Bruce, I want to just broaden a little bit here to your experience as a business owner now, right? You've been doing this a couple of years, gone through, I know, a few things along the journey. You know, it's never exactly like a just a totally greased path that, you know, to super success, right? But I admire what you've done. You've done very well here. What just owner to owner, right? What do you see in terms of the challenges of marketing, sales, and so on that every owner that you think are particular things that you're saying, if you're going to be successful in the rest of the 2020s into the 2030s as a business, you better do this. Or I think this is what really is important. You know, 20 years ago, it's all about relationships, which
Right.
may still be true. I'm not saying that isn't, but maybe today it's something else. Maybe it's be prepared with AI. I'm just curious. Your view of this, fresh eyes looking at this business, the challenge that is to be in business, what words of wisdom would you share there to, you know, your fellow owners?
And I think it goes back to one of our first conversations about bringing clarity to business models that may be a little bit hazy in their owner's mind, is that messaging is very important, right? I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of web design agencies out there, but I know what we offer, and we offer very clean, crisp, modern, award-winning websites. And I know what marketing we off would offer, you know, who we're targeting, who your ideal customer is, and the value proposition. Why should somebody go with you at X for X service for Y price? And I think that's where you can potentially help them.
Wow, no, that's exciting, and I think anybody listening long enough to our podcast has heard those themes there. So it's actually exciting to me to hear it back
No,
from
he did
you.
not tell me to say
No,
that.
I did it, but it's great. It's great. Well, Bruce, we keep going on this because this is a really deep and wide topic. But so thank you for your time, and I'm sure our audience has learned a lot. If anyone listening to this wants to know more about you, your specific business, or reach out to you, where should they go?
DynamicWaveConsulting.com.
DynamicWaveConsulting.com. That will be in our show notes. We'll also have your LinkedIn profile there as well, but we want to make sure people know that. And if they just want to talk to you about possibilities of how you could help them, you get on a call with them. Is that, can they schedule that from your website?
Absolutely. We do offer consultations and scheduling discovery calls. So our production queue is rather busy, so we're in the process of scheduling discovery calls. If you know definitively what you're interested in taking to the next level, whether it's your site or your marketing campaign or Google, you can fill out on the homepage the contact and consults form submission towards the bottom of the homepage. We'd love to work together and win for your business.
Fantastic. Bruce
Thanks
Lito, thank you for joining us on Business Growth on Purpose. We
for
appreciate
having me.
it.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Business Growth on Purpose. If you like the show, hit subscribe and leave us a review to help other people find the podcast. And if you're ready to take the next step in driving intentional growth for your business, come check out what we're doing at valueprop.com. We've developed industry-leading programs and systems to help B2B owners take control of their growth. Until then, thanks for listening to another episode of Business Growth on Purpose.